Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your first time listening, I just want to say thank you first and foremost for becoming a part of this community, for becoming part of something bigger than yourself, for taking a moment to invest in yourself. You know, if you clicked on this episode, then it means a couple of things, probably. Number one, it means that we were able to invite curiosity. And by invite curiosity, we mean that there's something that's being said without being said to yourself repeatedly, day in and day out. And if you're anything like us, then it might go something like this. You want something that's transformational. You want a type of art education that isn't getting you 5% more on the salary on a job you already don't like. That's not what this is here for. Instead, what we're hoping for is to develop a holistic mindset, a holistic attitude towards living life as an artist, as a designer, whether that be in running your own practice, whether that be in getting and keeping your dream job, or if that's releasing your own brand, your own company. That's what we're here to do, is to help develop those core traits that we think are essential in the development of that, in those three areas. And as such, we have three pillars that we operate underneath, and those three are kind of the framework for our pedagogical approach and the way that we teach. First and foremost, we think there's a core necessity for the development of the mind. It's called our incomplete thoughts segment. Next, we have our work study segment, which is all about the development of the tactics, the tools, the templates that are needed to practice daily, day in and day out. And lastly, we have our well-read segment, which is all about inspiration. And it's critical that you stay inspired in interesting and unique ways that keep a vision of the future close and top of mind. So for today, if you're interested in more information after you listen to this podcast, then you can go to educated-guest.com and subscribe to our newsletter, as well as at educated_guests on Instagram. So those two things said, intro out of the way. Today we are talking about how to read a book. And this might be an intriguing title for some and something worth passing over for others. But however, I think it's incredibly important to invite others to think critically about why we do certain things. Very basic things that perhaps we learn when we are in grade school. And if you think about the basics of upon which everything complicated stands, then it usually comes down to some form of linguistic communication, or it comes down to some form of programmatic expression, and in most cases, a combination of both. So today, what we're going to do is talk about our framework, specifically the framework that we found helpful in terms of engaging with information, particularly in long format. And how to digest that information appropriately over time. And if you're curious about why we're doing this, why this is important, you know, all these different things, then you might be interested in one of our past episodes where we talk about just in case information versus just in time information and how to sort of consume and deal with information overload. And also, one more thing, if you are the type of person that deals consistently with, you like the idea of reading, however, every time you read and you find a book you really like, you highlight the entire page. Your entire page is yellow, and then you look back 2 months later or a year later or 2 years later, and you're like, I have no idea why I highlighted all this. And there's no system. So what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of a system for how to engage with long-form information. So I find it particularly important to begin at the beginning. And the beginning is really a three-pronged approach. Three things that I think are critical, three reasons that are critical for thinking about reading, why we read, and why we continue to read. So the first reason why we read is this. We read for exposure. We read for exposure. If you think about it quite literally, we are being exposed through text to people, to places, to challenges, to tactics, to methods, and otherwise, we wouldn't have known these things. And that's why written word is one of the oldest forms of generational communication, or excuse me, generational communication. And even today, it will remain one of the biggest generational things that we pass on is our ability to communicate on paper, linguistically, structurally, and consistently from generation to generation. So we read for exposure to new ideas, new people, new places, new challenges, new tactics, new methods. That's why we read. That's number one. So you're looking for something I don't know. That's the core question. I'm looking for something I don't know. So reason number two for reading is we read for clarity. We read for clarity. And this is stuff that we know, but we're looking for some categorization. We're looking for a specific phrasing. We're looking for specific ranking or priority. And this is key. You know, the older we get, the less new information we get. Yet we want to stay fresh and we want new ways, new, you know, ways of connecting dots, new linguistic capabilities, new phrasal activities that we can engage with and integrate into our own communication style so that we can go forward and actually communicate these new novel ideas or not so novel ideas, even if it's something old. A good example is, you know, the golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated. Why is it that all of us know that we want to treat others how we want to be treated, yet we'll still continue to go by the five love languages? We'll still go by, you know, how to win friends and influence people, how to do this, how to do that, how to do this. But at the end of the day, all of those things can be summarized in the simple phrase of treat others how you want to be treated. So why do we read consistently how to have critical conversations, how to negotiate? You know, all these popular books are all about, you know, phrasal activities and categorizations and rankings and priorities that otherwise help our brain just process the same information in different ways so that we can draw new correlations, new connections, and ultimately deliver something in a more, you know, situational aspect. Well, you know, that's for the same reason that you wouldn't want to be in a critical life or death situation where you're needing help or you're needing to offer help to someone else. And all you have in your Rolodex is treat others how you want to be treated. Well, people want to hear something else. So you're reading for clarity. That's point number two. And the third and final reason why we read is this. We read for optimism. We read for optimism. So if exposure is about getting something and or piece of information that you don't know, and clarity is about getting pieces of information that you do know, then optimism is all about those times when you ask whether or not knowing really matters. This is a bit philosophical, a bit, you know, Thoreau-esque, a bit existential. But there are critical points in life when you're trying to figure out, does it even matter to know anything? Why am I doing this? Why am I looking for this? Why am I going about this? Why am I toiling through this? And oftentimes it's through fiction, through stories, through mythology, through religious faith, through, you know, anecdotal information from autobiographies, from biographies, from documentaries. Like, these notes of optimism are the critical sort of triadic completion of the three reasons why we read. And if you're looking for something that's like mutually exclusive, collectively exhaustive, I would go about these three reasons as to when you select a book from Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Borders, I think Borders is completely out of business, Books a Million, like these places, when you go and buy books, ask yourself first, like, what am I looking for? Am I looking for exposure? Am I looking for clarity? Am I looking for optimism? And when you read, you should go into these books with a certain mindset, knowing that when you consume this information, you are looking through it through a certain lens. So you're not surprised when I know if you're anything like me or anything like the rest of us, then you might read a book that's about how to win friends and influence people, one of the best-selling books of all time. Or you might read some of these books about Think and Grow Rich or these popular like self-help type of books. You'll read these things and you'll say, man, I know that. Like, well, I don't even need to read the rest of the book. And then you'll stop yourself and you'll get out of the habit of actually regurgitating and, you know, replenishing the banks and the stores of information and positive thinking that you once had and you always had. Yet at this certain point, you are lacking because you haven't replenished those same stores. So here we are again with a certain necessity, we're like a well of information, but that well runs dry as we continue to talk, as we continue to interact, and we need to replenish that well of information and that well of, you know, giving that we have. So for these three reasons, I highly recommend continuing to read. I highly recommend to continue to read actively and purposefully and intentionally. And as we go forward even further, you will start to see patterns arise, and you can maybe tweak this framework a little bit for you and whatever works for you. So now, like, that we've talked about these three reasons for reading, I want to talk about a system for actually capturing and annotating the information. And if you're anything like I said, anything like us, then you are the type of person who will read a book that you really like and highlight everything, or read a book that you don't like and highlight nothing. And both are terrible. You know, both are very problematic, mainly for the point that it's a waste of time. You know, 70% of the information you read is missed on the first try. So it's going to take more time to go back and replenish yourself. I mean, it's the same reason people who are Christians, people who are Muslim, or people who are of the Buddhist tradition, then, like, when you go read the Tao Te Ching, or you go read Quran, or you read the Bible, you don't just read it one time and then you're done. No, these things are seminal, repetitive practices that you want to get in the habit of going back and relearning and rehashing and reimagining and organizing the same bits of information that you've seen once. But 70% of that time, if you read 100 words, or if you read 100 pages, you're only really taking in about 30 of those pages with reasonable, you know, memory and reasonable comprehension. So that's something I'd highly recommend why you should implement this system if you're someone that has some of those problems. And the system is pretty simple. You'll need three different colors of highlighter, or three different distinctive methods of separating information and parsing through the information. So the reason I created this system is simple. If you read a lot of pages, like I already said, then you're going to want to have some marker as to why you are highlighting things. So the first color I would recommend, and this is, I use green. The first category I would recommend is my primary category. And this might seem a little bit odd, or this might seem a little bit extra, or this might seem very programmatic. But quite simply, the things you're going to want to remember the most are in this primary category. So when you read a book, let's say it's on graphic design, I'll use the graphic design example to keep you on track here. As you go read a graphic design book, the first color that I use is green, and I highlight names, places, and dates. Names, places, and dates. Why do I highlight that? Well, quite frankly, I based all of this on the frequency of information that I need to tap into as I go to write something new and use it as a reference, or go to give a talk and bring up a story, or give something and bring up a story. So a good example is if you're reading a book on graphic design or the history of Pentagram or something like that, then, and you're trying to learn a little bit more about their practices, you're going to want to highlight the name Michael Beirut. And it doesn't even matter that you know who he is off the top. It simply matters that you're taking inventory. You're like a computer. Your brain is literally a computer. It's a processing engine. So it's a terrible storage engine. It's much like very real computers. Computers are very limited in their ability to store. That's why you have all these external servers, and you have to combine different computers together and build some supercomputer. But processing power is something that computers are constantly getting better at. That's why the iPhone can do so many simultaneous tasks. But the second you start building up the memory or building up the storage in your iPhone, let's say you have a 64 gig and you got 63 gigs of photos, and you're trying to run 17 different applications in the background, then that's an issue. that's when your things start getting slow. So treat your brain the same way. You want to keep your memory storage wide open and start having your processing engine working much harder. So this is going to help your processing engine. So go in, highlight names, places, and dates, because when it comes up in a conversation, imagine those times where you're trying to sell to a client, or you're trying to bring up in a meeting, or you're trying to, you know, make a point and give an example. The first thing you're going to look for, and the first key note that separates what you know from the average Joe or Joanne, is the ability to reference a name, someone else, like another human being who's done something similar to what you've done or you can call upon. They're not going to know what the concept is, what the name is, any of that stuff. But people resonate with names. They know, oh, well, Michael, I don't know. I know him. I don't know who that is, but I know a guy named Michael somewhere. And people respect when they are told a name that they don't know, because it makes them feel inferior in a safe way. That's like, hey, if you imagine, you know, being on an airplane or being in a, you know, being in a car, let's say you need a driver, you're famous, you need a driver. If the driver that you're interviewing gives you 15 other names of people who can serve as references to validate him or her being able to drive you around, you're much more likely to trust them as opposed to if they said, hey, well, I know the left bank technique in case we do this. I need a right bank technique. It's like, no, I don't care about all that. Just tell me who else has used your service. Again, it's a simple reference. So that's primary. That's green. So you'll want to go through all your pages. Try this. Like, pick out 5 random pages in your, you know, your thickest book in your bedroom or your living room or your basement or whatever. Go grab a book and just see if you can go through 5 pages and just highlight all the names, places, and dates. It's really going to help you. So the second thing, the second category that I've created is this category for concepts, categories, things, and books. Concepts, categories, things, and books. So again, you might be wondering, why is this, like, why are these things? Like, aren't we supposed to be highlighting key phrases and quotables and all this? This is the second most important piece of information, because nobody's going to remember what something said or what who said or what this said. That's bonus points. The thing people will remember is who said it, when they said it, and what is it that they said. That's it. And in that order, probably. And it's not even the what it is they said. For example, if Michael Bayreuth's given a passage in a pentagram book, and he so happens to mention the topic of kerning when it comes to graphic design, it's not necessarily important that you highlight every page or like fold some people will fold the dog ear, I think is what it's called, at the top corner of the page and try to save the page. So like, that's important, but it is, when you come back to that page, you're only going to be looking, honestly, think about how many books you've come back to in the past purposefully that weren't the Bible, that weren't the Quran, that weren't the Tao Te Ching, that weren't books that you had to write a paper on and needed a reference. Like, these were just books that you wanted to check out what it is that you felt good about in the past. First thing you're going to do is you're going to flip to the pages that have a lot of highlighting on it. You're going to say, all right, well, I highlighted this random paragraph. Why did I highlight that paragraph? Nobody knows. You don't even know. You couldn't explain to anybody else why you highlighted that. So this is to get into the process of self-explanation for why you are interested in the topics, things, people, places, concepts that you seem to know. So as you annotate the secondary category, you're going to want to pay close attention to the topics. So concepts, an example of a concept is kerning. So if you're reading a book on graphic design and it says a new concept that you haven't heard anything about, and then it has 2 more pages on that same concept, don't highlight 2 pages, highlight the concept in blue. So again, primary is green, secondary is blue. And as you go through it, you'll start to see that you're in literally 2 different colors of highlighting. You've built an interesting database of information to come back and reference. So say I'm giving a talk, or I'm invited somewhere, or I'm giving a presentation, I'm talking to a client, or I'm closing a client, or I'm proving a point to a superior, or I'm trying to explain something to a junior designer, then you're going to want to have these good reference points to go back to. So I'm no longer saying, hey, go read this entire book if you have a question about kerning, it's like, no, go read Michael Bateroot's section. He talks about kerning in there. Check out, here is my copy. And then when they open it up, they have, oh, they highlighted Michael Bateroot in green and they highlighted kerning in blue. And this leads us to our third category, is we just call it the tertiary category, but this is the explanations, phrases, quotables, and this is highlighted in yellow. So this is most of what you've been doing. Most likely you've been taking a yellow highlighter, or you're on your Kindle, or you're on your Mac, or you're on your PC, and you're trying to just highlight whatever you see. And it's all in yellow, and you come back and you just have this like giant bleed of yellow text. And you're like, I don't know what to do with this, but somebody told me to start highlighting in my textbook, so I'm still doing that. Now, the key here is that when you highlight for yellow, these are going to be the things that make you say, it's a simple test. If it makes you say, then you're going to want to highlight it in yellow. Then this might be a whole page. This might be a paragraph. This might be, you know, a sentence. But these are the things that you're going to want to include to share as a quotable, to share as an explanation, to share as the detailed verbiage. And again, remember, we go back to the reasons why we read. This has to do all with clarity. So if you think about those same categories and how they pair with the highlighting system, primary is all about exposure. So these are the people, places, dates that you didn't know about. Secondary is all about clarity. And it's clearly, it's all about making sure you just get clear definitions on topics and things and books and categories. Other like points of reference, deeper rabbit holes. If this were Wikipedia, these would be like the hyperlink things. And the yellow, the tertiary highlights, are all about the optimism. These are the things that offer you new bits of information, offer you confirmation of things that you are already questioning, but now you have a deeper sense of why they exist. So that's all we have for today. Again, just to wrap things up, there are three reasons why we read. It's exposure, clarity, and optimism. And if you're able to take these systems of highlighting, these systems of capturing information, these systems of annotation, then you can go into your next phase with a clearer approach, a clearer technique, a clearer outlook on why you consume information. You'll get more excited to read. You'll get more out of reading. You won't waste your time if you don't like a book, because you know that every book that you read, you should be highlighting something. And if you're highlighting too much, then it might be too dense of a book. If you're highlighting too little, then it might not have enough information for you. And you always want to go into it with a specific intention, specific goal, specific feeling that you want to evoke from this experience, because reading is an experience, much like going to a theme park, much like going to the class, much like going to the movies. Don't just read for some other point on the end. Like, imagine if you went to a movie and you were just waiting for the ending just to say, hey, I went to the movies last night. Well, what was the book? What was the movie about? I mean, I don't know. I was there. I mean, I went. All right. Well, it sounds like you just wasted your time. Same thing goes for a book. You want to make sure you're enjoying the experience and really getting into it, really getting to touch the fabrics of the linguistic capability of others, past, present, and future. You want to keep this in mind. Pass this down, pass this around. Do with it what you will, and I hope that you do a lot. So that's all we have for today. If you're curious about more information like this, then you can go to educated-guest.com. I encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. I encourage you to reach out and, you know, talk to us. Book some time. If you're curious about, you know, some of the things we have planned coming up, then you can go to @educated_guest on Instagram and talk back to us, and we will be sure to have someone talk to you so you're not just, you know, throwing stuff Hail Mary pass down the lane. So that's all we have. I'll talk to you very soon. All right. Thanks again. Peace.